Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, February 17th, 2020. This is Air Force veteran David Corey, along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thank you for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey, good evening, David, and good evening, everybody out there, and good evening, David Maltby. He is our special guest, and David Maltby is with the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope in Houston, Texas. Tonight he's going to discuss his organizations and all the great work they're doing for veterans and their families. First, though, I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, your comments, and questions, so you can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that number is 1-888-627-6008. Please don't be bashful. The PTS Foundation of America and Camp Hope in Houston is a phenomenal organization. They've done some great work. I've sent clients there, and I have firsthand knowledge as to what all the great work that they do there. So if you have any questions, please call in. Back to you, David.
Thanks. It's my privilege to introduce our special guest, who was first on our show in September 2017, our first year on the air. David Maltby is the executive director of PTSD Foundation of America in Camp Hope in Houston, Texas. He also has 3 decades of ministry experience, most of those as a pastor. David was the first member of the PTSD Foundation staff to meet and mentor ward veterans, and he's been instrumental in the creation of Camp Hope. He now leads in the development and financial support of the work of that foundation. So let's welcome David Maltby to the Veterans News Hour. David, how's it going?
It's never boring around our place, but thank you, David and Richard, both for the opportunity to spend a little time with you guys this evening and your audience. Appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you. It's our privilege to help publicize the great work. Why don't we begin, David, if you could tell us about the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope, how they began, the purpose and the projects.
Sure. We began doing what we do, which is we're a peer-to-peer program dealing with combat-related PTSD. We began that work back in about 2009, back when PTSD, most folks didn't have a clue what it was. Most folks really hadn't even heard the term and certainly didn't understand it if they had heard it. A lot has changed since then in regard to even just the terminology. But our original idea was here in Houston. Our statistic was the VA said at the time we were losing 17 veterans a day to suicide. But in Houston, they were saying 1 out of every 3 adult homeless person was a military veteran. And when you start looking at statistics like that, combined with VA and suicides, clearly we had a problem. And of course it was 2009, we were still heavily engaged in what was going on in the Middle East. And we knew as something has to give here. We've got to do something. And God bless the VA, but, you know, they're overwhelmed. And the reason nonprofits exist, no matter what the need or mission of that nonprofit, it's generally because the government cannot, even if with the best intentions and all the money in the world, cannot fully address any of these situations. So that's why nonprofits exist. And certainly we saw an issue that we felt the community could come together and provide some assistance and some help and some life-saving opportunities for our military vets. So we began just a lot of times just going downtown, walking the streets, meeting the homeless vets, hearing their stories. Why are you here? What's going on? What happened? Going to veteran-related events and finding the guys kind of on the outskirts and afraid to get involved or skittish of the surroundings, start conversations with them. And we began just meeting with them in coffee shops or wherever we could get them to stop and tell a little bit of what was going on and help them individually. And And you get four or five of those guys to agree to meet at one point in place and time. We had our first groups. We had the first groups in downtown Houston. And now we run those groups across several cities in Texas and literally from coast to coast. We're all over Los Angeles and San Diego, across Phoenix, Colorado Springs, and then over Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, again, all across cities in Texas. So we take those peer-to-peer groups there. In addition to the peer-to-peer for the combat vet, we also run warrior or a family group. So that the idea behind that is if you help Johnny come home from war, help him understand what happened in his brain and the rewiring of the brain, we don't help the spouse or the parents or the siblings understand what happened. We're not setting Johnny up for a long-term success. So while we run the vets groups, we also run groups for the family members to help them understand. Then in 2012, we opened our residential program that we call Camp Hope, where we bring veterans from every branch of service, every era of service, bring them into our program. It's about a six-month-ish program, though for some it could be as short as 4 months, and some it's up to a year. But we deal with them every day, all day, dealing with combat-related PTSD, and it's all free.
It's all free, and I know Richard Hurley has helped a couple veterans get into the program, and Richard has actually been out there and toured Camp Hope. So let me turn it over to Richard Hurley. I know he has some things he'd like to talk with you about. Richard, you there?
Hey, David. Yeah, it's been a couple years since I was there, and it was a tremendous experience. When I first got there, I got there on a Sunday, so everybody was inside the building, and I guess they were going to church, which I think is one aspect of your program, the spiritual side. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, we are very unashamedly a faith-based organization. What that means is most of the men and women who enter into our groups or program, before they went to war, they had some type of a faith system. They went to war, they saw some of the most evil, awful people do some of the most evil, awful things imaginable, and some things beyond imagination. And in the course of that, they begin to question, like happens in any type of trauma, whether it be a hurricane, a tsunami, a tornado, whatever, people always ask, well, where was God? Why does God allow starving children? Why does God allow these events to take place? So for us, faith-based means a couple of things. One is we're not afraid to ask that question, throw it out on the table, and wrestle with it. And two, we want to help those men and women reconnect to that faith system that they had before they went to war. Because often a lot of what they're dealing with is not just the trauma, though that's enough. But it's they feel a guilt. I don't know how many times I've had guys tell me, man, just based on what they had been taught in their religious system growing up, that they were completely had no hope for a future. They were damned to hell, in their words, and there was nothing that they could do about it. And so we're not afraid to, okay, well, let's look at scripture and let's see what it actually has to say. And we're not going to tell you what you need to believe, but we're going to help you walk through that process, and we want to help them regain that faith if we can. And more often than not, that does take place. And it's not a trying to convert them to something, some church or something like that. It's just, if we're not willing to talk about the whole person, then we're never going to have whole healing. It's impossible. If you don't deal with every aspect of the injury, you're never going to have true long-lasting recovery, and that's what we're working towards.
You know, I know the church, to just kind of describe it to the people listening, it's non-denominational. When I was there, I saw people who had a history of all sorts of different religions gathering under one rooftop. and it was, like I said, non-denominational.
Oh,
I thought it was an awesome idea. And I'd love to create something, what you have there here in Florida, but, you had the housing situation. When I was there, you had two buildings. And structure was similar to being in the military. And everybody had a job to do. I remember seeing the chore board. You know, everybody had chores to do.
Yeah.
And, right? The chore board was up there, and everybody, you know, from cooking dinner to cleaning the Johns, you know? And, I thought that was great. And, you know, when I went into one with my client, he took me into his unit, and, you had older men there in the unit, and they were telling the younger guys, well, you better go clean those Johns. It's on your chore board. Tell us a little bit about that structure. I thought it was very good.
Sure. Well, it is they live with us, again, you know, an average of about 6 months, and it's all free, but the idea is not, we're not here to be your mother. We're here to help you stand on your own two feet and be proud of who you are and what you can do. And so part of that is take care of what has been given to you for the guy that's going to come after you. So yeah, take care of your space. We work very hard at balancing, taking care of them, and then giving them the opportunity to take care of themselves. But we're not there to do their laundry for them. They're grown men, women. They can take care of themselves.
They're in close quarters too. I mean, how many are assigned to each of those units?
Yeah, we learned very early on. When we first opened up in 2012, we had one house, and it was basically a duplex. It was four bedrooms on each duplex. Each side had its own kitchen, two bathrooms, and living area. And we had eight queen size beds. Because rest, no matter what the injury or illness, rest is obviously a big part of recovery. So we wanted to be as comfortable as possible, but the other part of that you kind of got to balance out on a campus like that is we're never going to be that final no. We've had several people call our crisis line and come into our program and later tell us that they were fully expecting to hear, no, we don't have room for you. And they literally would tell us we have our weapon loaded and ready to put in our mouth and pull the trigger because it was going to be the last no I was ever going to hear. But we decided from the very beginning, we are not going to be the last no. We will say yes. You may be on a couch, or we may have to do some really creative stuff for a little while. So at some point in time, we had over 20-some-odd guys living in that house that we had originally designed for eight. So our plan today is we don't have those issues, but our plan today is not to isolate, because PTSD and our combat vets will often lead to isolation. So we don't want them in rooms alone. We want them in rooms of two, generally speaking. Now, once we get into our green phase, which is just our transition phase, they're ready to go forward. They might have rooms to themselves. But as they come into our program and really work the bulk of the program, we work very hard to push them into relationships and learning to interact with people of different ages, different backgrounds, different likes, different styles. Learn to cope with people who are different from you. And that's part of our program, very much on purpose.
David, do you still have the blackout period when you get a new veteran into the program?
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things it's a bit frightening for everybody involved in those first 30 days. It's about a 30-day blackout period. But we have a couple of folks on our family coordination side that deal strictly with the family members of the vets. So they help them through that process. And then of course the veteran, you know, we're working with them all day, any day, every day anyway. But the purpose behind that is oftentimes when someone comes into our program, as we like to say it, they're not coming in on a winning streak. Things are not going well for them. They've been living in the Sam Houston Forest or coming out of a Harris County jail or some hospital psych ward somewhere. And many times family members are one of the triggers that they're dealing with. So we have to separate them from society completely to work on that particular vet and get that veteran stable. Then once they are stable and have kind of worked through the initial shock and awe of coming into a program like ours, and getting themselves in a more calm and rational state, then we can begin the reintegration of communicating with the outside world, and obviously that includes family members. But yeah, many, many times it's very frequent, and a high percentage of the time when a veteran comes into our program, a family member or an ex or something like that is a major stressor, and that's one of the reasons we have to shut off communication.
Yeah, I know some of my clients that have been there have told me, you know, if you need to reach me, you need to call the front office, but I'm in blackout. Like, I'm kind of shut in. So, now another thing that you guys do, and I'm very familiar with recovery programs. I myself, have been in recovery. I got sober 12 years ago and I put myself in a rehab. And so when I saw your program, I saw this is familiar. I recognize this program. And you have a lot of classrooms set up. And so I assume like during the day, you know, the veteran is out not only dealing with his, the mental issues, but then now you're going to get him into these classrooms and start, you know, going through, you know, teaching him different things, different group thoughts. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what goes on in these classrooms?
Sure. Well, a typical day on our campus begins 0600, and there's, you know, the week or the morning chores and just getting things, you know, get breakfast, everybody kind of get your coffee and get yourself ready, prepared for the day. We have a morning check-in, which is just, you know, how you doing? What's your goal for the day? What's your attitude right now? What are you afraid of? What are you looking forward to? And then we go into the classes, and classes range from, you know, dealing strictly with combat-related PTSD to things like what actual fatherhood, manhood looks like, regulate your emotions, anger management classes, and then it goes all the way over into, we do a Berkman assessment for all of our guys to get into our transition program, which is assessing all their skills, talents, abilities, and then resume writing, how to present yourself in an interview situation, job searches. It is the full gamut. And in the meantime, you know, several of them are coming in with court issues going on, whether it's, you know, multiple DUIs or some sort of issue with a family member or leasing problems or a divorce or whatever it may happen to be. Parole officers, we're running that entire gamut. So it's absolutely every aspect of your life, how to do a budget. It's shocking to me how many of our guys, they're in their 40s, and they've never, ever, ever dealt with a budget. They've just never had the needs or means to do it. So we're teaching them often some of the most basic things, including we've had classes on writing thank you notes. It's some of the most basic stuff, but also, you know, when you get into the whole emotional regulation side and anger management, those are some pretty detailed, deep classes. And they can be pretty eye-opening for guys to recognize where those emotions are coming from and how they can control them rather than let the emotions control them. So it's a wide range of classes. Those go through about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They have some free time, then dinner. Then the evening, it's mentioned recovery. Like this is Monday evening, so we have an AA meeting that happens tonight on campus. Last night we had an NA meeting on campus. Tuesday and Thursday we have what we call our warrior groups and family groups that happen on campus. Wednesday night will be another NA. Friday night will be another AA meeting. And Saturday's kind of a hodgepodge. Sometimes it's just take a break. Sometimes we have some folks come in and do you know, a choir come in and do a concert. We do all kinds of things on Saturday.
How about physical activity? And the reason I say this is, again, drawing upon my own experience. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was required on a daily basis, in addition to going to different groups and reading and everything, you had to do something physical, whether it was ride your bike, whether it was play tennis. I mean, go to the gym, do yoga, but you had to do something physical because they've really found, and I'm sure you're aware of this, that incorporating the physical work along with the other exercises is another source of recovery for the client.
Absolutely. And PT is a part of every day for every resident on our program. And again, we have, I think, 3 Vietnam vets living with us currently. One of those, or maybe even 2 of them, are on a walker right at the moment. So it may be just walking up and down the road on our campus. But everybody spends time doing PT. And we opened a gym on our campus, I think it was about 2 years ago. So probably either around the time you were there or shortly thereafter.
Yeah, well, shortly thereafter, because I heard that you guys were about to open it. Yeah.
Yeah, and as with many gyms, one of the walls is solid mirrors. And I tell folks when we take them on tours of our campus, it may just seem like, you know, a thing that you do, you know, get the endorphins pumping and all the stuff that comes with the positives of the exercise. But let's talk about a guy that's got combat-related PTSD. He was 18. He didn't know anything but mom, apple pie, and life was good. Then he goes to Afghanistan or Iraq, and he's kicking down doors, and he's facing the most awful stuff, having to do things he never dreamed he would have to do, dealing with children and all kinds of situations that nobody likes to think about or talk about. It's war. Then they come home, and they came home, but the buddy that they swore to God they would have their 6 and bring him home didn't make it home. Or they had to do something that in their mind would not be involved in war. It didn't seem right, didn't feel right. They couldn't settle it. And so that trauma begins to work in their brain. They can't sleep, so they start self-medicating. They lose their family. They lose their job. They lose all sense of purpose, all sense of meaning. And they just feel like they don't belong anywhere. They end up living out in the forest or they're in jail, one or the other. And they come into our program and they're angry. They're angry that they're here. They're angry that the situation they faced. They're angry with where they had to go and what they had to do. And they walk in. Sometimes they've been, you know, again, self-medicating. So they weigh 100 pounds and haven't been eating. But they've been drugging. And they just have no hope. They truly are hopeless. And what we'll do is, okay, we're going to start feeding you. You're going to eat right. And you're going to start working out. And that may be just riding a bike or walking up and down the road. Might be doing some curls. Might be doing whatever. But many times after 30 days of doing that, and they look in that mirror and they see the change in themselves physically, it opens their mind that, hey, maybe I can change and maybe life can get better. And just seeing that in themselves physically opens their minds to maybe my mind can change too. Maybe my attitude, maybe my outlook on life can change too. So it's so much more than just getting yourself in better physical shape. So that has 1,000 benefits. It's much, much deeper than that for us. It helps our veterans understand their life can get better if they just put their mind to it.
You know, one of the other thing that I remember, I'm sure you still have it there. You had like a little courtyard with an outdoor fire pit. and I just kind of sat there for about a half hour to 45 minutes and listening. I didn't even engage in any conversation, but I was listening to all the other veterans and I was really struck by, the camaraderie and the communication and some of the older vets were helping some of the younger vets. And, tell us a little bit about that little experience there. Cause I know that's again, it's a very informal area, but the benefits are huge. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, a couple of things about that. You mentioned the camaraderie. If there's one thing I hear almost every single time from a veteran that comes into our program, it's the first time they felt safe. It's the first time they felt home. And for some of our guys, literally for decades, but it's not unusual. It's the first time I felt safe since I left my FOB in Afghanistan, which, you know, in a moment, it kind of sucks the breath out of you. Like, that's horrible that it's been that long, but it's also at the same time powerful in that, hey, at least now they feel that. But the fire pits, we're a peer-to-peer program. And as I've mentioned, it's a very intensive all day into the evening program. And yes, there's some built-in breaks in the course of the day, but we use those breaks for that fire pit to hang out, whether it's there. We've got another park that's open now as well. It's purposeful places on our campus for the veterans just to share peer-to-peer. So you hear all this stuff in a class, but what does that mean? How does that work in my life? And that's where the whole peer-to-peer thing comes. And the guy that's been in our program for 4 months being there to help the guy that's been there for 4 days say, hey, man, I know you want to run, and I don't blame you. I wanted to run 4 days in too, but I'm 4 months in. Now my life and my outlook on things are completely different. That's what happens around that fire pit. And it's not the people that teach our classes, they're mentors. They're guys that have come through our program and now lead the program. But to have guys that are currently in the program going peer to peer with each other, challenging each other, holding each other accountable. The fire pit is a very, very popular place. And we go through a lot of firewood even when it's 90 degrees and the humidity is 90% outside in Houston. It's an amazing thing to watch.
That's awesome. Now, when I was there, you hadn't opened them up yet, but you were, and hopefully you started it, but you were putting up, I'm going to use the term modular home. Maybe that's not exactly what they are, but these homes were going to be set up so that as a veteran is getting ready to be released, he could actually, you know, move into that modular home and maybe even bring his family. And this was another part of the process to being able to step out from your facility and get an independent life.
Yeah. And you know what happened? What happened there is, we had an organization that was wanting to build an entire community of veterans with those, modular homes. They were, basically trailers that they were converting, and they had donated one. One of our guys had helped build it, and he was going to live in it. But what we have done now is we have almost completed construction on 4 townhouses on our property that are absolutely gorgeous. And those are dedicated to, as you mentioned, to be able to bring the veteran and his family together on our campus. So our transition program, which this speaks to, is extremely important to what we do. Once the bulk of the PTSD side of the program is completed, they move into transition. And that is, okay, you've learned about PTSD. You've gotten yourself in a better mindset, but how do you go forward? Again, if you've been in the jail system or the psych ward for a while or wherever, you probably don't have any money. You've blown your credit. You can't just go out and rent an apartment. You don't have the means, ability, credit report, all that kind of stuff. So in our transition program, they can continue to live on campus and reapply to stay every 30 days, start an income, whether that be going to school, the GI Bill, or whether it be starting a new career, starting to get income. And they can save that money and build it up so that they can go out and lease, you know, the apartment first month, last month, secure deposits, all those things. You get the electricity turned on. But the townhouse option, it gives them the ability to bring in their entire family. And the beauty of that is we can have that happen on campus because it's not that dissimilar from someone being on deployment. Yeah, I know you guys are vets. If you go on a deployment, you're gone for 6 months or a year, your family's functioning without you. Okay, so now you're finished with your deployment, you're coming home, you're coming back into a setting, a family, an organization, a unit that's operating without you. And now you're coming into it. How does that affect that? Well, take that to a whole nother level when you're dealing with, you know, a veteran and there's probably been some issues before he came to us. And how do we reintegrate him into that family unit? And we can help that entire family walk through that process while they do it on our campus. And like everything else that we do, every single thing we do is free, both for the veteran and for their family member. So it's a great new tool for us. It's something we have done in the past. Just the last few years, we haven't had the space to do it. And now we have the space to do it.
How many residents do you have on an average?
On average, there's around 70 at any given time. And, you know, again, those are every, you know, from Vietnam vets. We've had Korean vets in our program, Korean War vets. We've got plenty of Gulf War I guys, up to guys that, you know, just got out 2 years ago. So, and everything in between.
And some of these guys, and even after they graduate, might stay on there and be counselors?
Yes. Yeah. Everyone that does the mentoring leaderships, you know, staff members on our program, they've all come through our program. So we have guys now that not only do the day-to-day mentoring, but now we've got guys that have, you know, been through the program. They were through it 5 years ago, and now they're not only helping. They've gone beyond just the day-to-day, and they're helping with our expansion across the country and the expansion of our organization as a whole. They've taken on some very important, very strategic, very national roles.
And you guys, if I remember correctly, because it happened with a few of my vets here in Florida, you'll actually, when a veteran's accepted in your program, someone from your organization will fly to that veteran and then fly with him back to Houston.
Well, yeah, and I'll take that a step further. We had a guy, he was in jail in Pennsylvania. He had disarmed a state trooper on a highway. Yeah. So
wow.
You can imagine the law enforcement folks were not really happy with this individual. but we knew him. We had met him. One of our guys had met him, previous when he was at the station at Fort Hood. And he had our card in his envelope, in his wallet. His sister found it and called us and told us, you know, he was in jail. So we called and talked to the judge. One of our, staff members flew to Pennsylvania, stood before the judge for 2 days and talked to him about who we are and what our program is. He discharged that veteran who was facing a felony into our program. He came into our program, completed our program, went back to Pennsylvania, did some community work for about 6 months. And after that, the judge released him to come back to work for us. And today he's now worked for us for over a year as a peer mentor. So yeah, I mean, to say we'll pay for their airline ticket to put it mildly, we'll go way beyond that to help someone improve their life.
That's awesome. Yeah, a couple of my clients in the Ocala, Florida area were actually in prison, and I appeared in front of, and the judge there knows of your program, and he and I are pretty good friends, and I had to appear in court with this veteran and tell the judge, you know, this is the plan. And the judge knew the program and said, well, that's fine. And he let him out. The prosecutor wasn't too happy.
Right.
and it was, because this guy had, he basically, not to digress, but he was, he was a combat veteran. He had a knee problem. He came back. He was actually working in the penal system, federal penal system as I'm not sure, as a guard or an administrator, but he was in the system for 17, 19 years. Doing really well, had a family, had a mortgage, everything. And then he went to the VA to get surgery on his knee. And after the surgery, the VA gave him opioids.
Right.
for pain. And then apparently he started using a little bit more than he should have. He got addicted. The VA pulled it away, and then from there he went to heroin. He I guess they found out. He lost his job. He ended up selling to an undercover in the Central Florida area. And next thing you know, he's losing the house. He lost the kids. It was a disaster, an absolute disaster. And if it wasn't for your program, David, I'm telling you this right now, if it wasn't for your program, I don't know where he'd be today. I don't even know if he'd be alive. He was at one point, he was literally living in the driveway of his second wife, who had become, you know, who was a sweetheart to him. She was married, and they let him sleep in his car in the driveway. That's how far his life had gone down the rabbit hole. And at one time he was a guard in the Coleman Federal Penitentiary System in Florida. It was amazing. And because of your program, he's got a job. He's working for his dad. He's doing great. But you know, so that's my personal experience dealing with your program. And I got to really commend you, for all the work you are doing. You know, if a veteran, how would a veteran, you know, contact your organization if they, you know, wanted to, or a family member wanted to contact you and try to get one of their family members, into Camp Hope?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of ways. And typically speaking, it's a family member, friend, or, you know, someone, a VA social worker or something like that. But our website, we always encourage people to go there, PTSDUSA.org. They can get all the information. They can see the forms that we need to have filled out. And there's not a lot, but there is some paperwork that needs to be done. Or we have a crisis line. And we always tell folks, if you are a veteran that is in crisis, or if you know a veteran that is in crisis, call us. And that number is 877-717-PTSD or 7873. So 877-717-7873. Now, something important about that crisis line, just like our program, it's peer-to-peer. So when you call our crisis line, it's not going to be a psych or a PA or, you know, an intern. It's going to be a combat vet who has been there, lost it, smelled it, felt it, and has turned his life around. So a combat vet that knows your story will answer the phone any time of day or night. And I tell you, we've had guys, you mentioned the one from Florida. We had a guy from Alabama. He had driven himself completely separate from his family. He was a firefighter. I mean, military vet, but he was currently working as a firefighter. And that fire department supported him, and they called our crisis line, and we brought him in, went into our program last May, I believe it was. He graduated, like 2 or 3 days after Christmas, so just a little over a month ago. Went back home to his wife and 4 children, and then about 2 weeks ago, went back to work at his fire department. And I tell folks, man, you know, it's one thing and it's enough. I mean, let's just agree. It's enough if you can help save someone's life. But if you can save 4 kids, their dad, if you can save a community, one of their firefighters, I mean, how do you put a dollar value on what that impact is on that community, on that family? And it's a wonderful thing to watch, to see these guys do the work and get back into their life and completely turn it around.
Yeah, the trickling down effect is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. Now I know you're looking for donations whenever you can find them. So how would somebody, they wanted to donate to Camp Hope, how would they do that?
I always encourage folks, again, go to our website, PTSDUSA.org. When you go there, there's the first thing you see is get help, and the second thing you see is donate. And the first thing will always, always, always be get help. We want to help save some veteran from becoming statistic. But right behind that, you know, it costs money to do what we do. So there's a donate button. You can write a check and mail it in. You can do a one-time donation. A lot of folks choose to do monthly recurring credit card donations. Sometimes they go back to their church or their business, and like their business will do a bake sale or do a fun run and raise $500 or $50,000. And then just send us the check. And there's all kinds of ways people can get involved in that, supporting what we do. So we try not to tell people what they should do. We just, here's our story, here's what we do, and if you're interested in helping us do that and expand that, man, we would sure appreciate your help. And by the way, we're not gonna send you a trinket. We're not going to take your donated dollar and buy you a trinket and put our logo on it and send it back to you. That's not who we are. We're going to use that dollar as best we can to actually save and change a life. Well, what we'll do is we'll send you a thank you note and tax receipt for your donation for your receipt. But yeah, you don't expect some sort of a trinket in the mail.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, before I let you go, what advice could you offer families dealing with a veteran who has the effects of PTSD? You know, it's a common question all the time, and so many people just don't understand PTSD. What advice could you give family members?
Okay, so without any hesitation, I'll tell you, with respect, assume that things are not okay. Everybody assumes things are okay because they're going to school, they got a job or whatever. That doesn't mean things are okay. Assume things are not okay. And when you see some of the telltale signs, they're a little more edgy than usual, they're drinking more than usual, they don't come around as much as they do, whatever, ask them the question. Are you okay? Have you ever thought about harming yourself? And I know that can be the most awkward question in the world, but I promise you it's not near as awkward as standing at a coffin. Ask the question.
Powerful stuff. Hey, David Corey, you have any follow-up here for our guest tonight?
I just want to thank David for being on our show again, and hope you'll entertain the thought of coming back again sometime in the future to tell us more about the great work. It's the last question I have, though, is I wanted to also mention, David, you talked about Camp Hope, but you also, at the beginning, you talked about, I think, the Warriors programs around the country.
Mm-hmm.
If maybe you could tell us just a bit about that before we go.
Sure. So those are weekly warrior groups and family groups, much like a divorce recovery group or an AA group. We meet weekly in different locations across the country. Veterans can go there. It's free again. And it's typically, you know, for instance, we open up our campus on Tuesday night. So tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, we'll have a meal. You can come early and eat. So we try to take away every excuse we can that people would throw up. Well, I can't there. I got to get home and take care of the kids and feed them. Show up. We'll feed you. We'll feed everybody. We'll take care of the kids. The vet will go into the warrior group. The family member will go into the family group. And that warrior group is going to be nothing but combat vets. No one else in the room but combat vets. Not a doctor, all combat vets. And we have a curriculum that we use, the Combat Trauma Healing Manual. And in the warrior group, we have a manual when war comes home. And we help the family member understand what happened to their loved one, how they can draw safe boundaries, loving, compassionate boundaries, and help their loved one rather than enable more bad decisions. So those groups generally about an hour, and then from those groups, the person that facilitates the groups will generally try to set up, as much as someone is willing to do so, you know, one-on-ones throughout the week. Let's say, hey, let's just have coffee and let's talk about what's going on and what we talked about in group and how's that working out in your life. And do you have any questions? How can I help you? So that's what we do in our warrior groups and family groups in the course of the week.
That's awesome, and I wish you continued success, and thank you for all that you're doing, and thank you for everyone on your, in your organization. Over to you, Rick.
Well, that's all I have too, David. I want to thank you very much for being on the show. And, next time I'm out in Houston for a hearing, I'll be sure to give you a call and maybe I can come by and get another tour of your facility.
We would love to have you. I would ask just, if I could, just real quickly, any of your listeners who hear this with, you know, podcast later on, to share this. We don't have a marketing budget. We don't spend money on buying advertisement. It's just people hearing our story and sharing it. So anybody that's hearing this, if they could share this with two or three of their friends, that's how we get out in front of these suicide statistics. So anyone would be willing to just, if they can't give a dollar, if they could just share this story, that would be great for our veteran community, and we would be forever grateful.
We'll do that, and we'll continue. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Good night, David. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was good stuff, David. Thanks for getting David Maltby on the show tonight.
Yeah, it was our privilege, and we're going to have to put together a fundraiser for him in Florida to support all the great things. As you know, I'm impressed with everything that they do and how they've, you know, expanded, and the warrior groups. You know, there's so much that they do, and they really fill. A need there that, as he said at the beginning of the show, the VA doesn't cover everything. We know that. And a lot of veterans out there that aren't getting help through the VA system, and they need help. And it's just a great, great program. And as he mentioned, the spiritual component is so important, because you can't totally heal someone and if you ignore the spiritual aspect of someone's life. So I think that's wonderful. As well. And, again, as David Maltby mentioned, go to their website, which is PTSDUSA.org, PTSDUSA.org. Learn more about the program, spread the word, and, if you can, donate, or if you know someone that might be in a position to donate, especially large sums to the organization, they will put it to great use.
You know, and another thing he brought up, and you just said it too, David, putting on a fundraiser in your own neighborhood, in your own community, and then using that money, whether it's a bake sale or a fun run or, you know, whatever you can do to get people together, and then you send them that money. I know, that would be, serves a lot of purposes, but if you've ever dealt with, and I have, if you've ever dealt with a veteran who has had the benefit of that program, you will see that it does save lives. And I'm not just saying that to sell the program. I'm telling you, it saves lives. It saved this one veteran that I spoke about tonight. It saved his life. He was either going to be dead or in jail for a very, very long time. But for PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope, he now is, his life has changed completely. It's just amazing. I saw him about a month ago. He stopped by the office just to say hi, and I couldn't believe how great he looked and everything. He told me all about his reconciliation with his children and even his ex-wives. He's reconciled with all of them. I mean, and if it wasn't for the program, that wouldn't have happened. So.
Yeah. Well, we have to continue to help spread the word and whatever means that we have, which are considerable, and that's one of the reasons why we have this this show every Monday, is to help publicize organizations like Camp Hope and the great work that David Maltby and his team are doing, and you know, it very successful, and they know what they're doing. You know, as you mentioned, the peer to peer, combat veterans helping other combat veterans. And it's so important. You know, we hear from veterans that go to the VA, and they come back, and they walk away from the counseling that they get at the VA. Sometimes it's because they think that the psychologist or the therapist really can't understand what they're doing, what they went through, and can't relate. And that's why the peer to peer is so important.
Well, so, you know, on that one thing, I know we're getting close to our time.
Yeah.
I've had veterans periodically come to my office and ask for an appointment to come see me. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at their file, and there's really nothing to do, you know. And I would look over and say, by the way, why are you here? I know you asked for the appointment, and is there something I need to do I'm not doing? And he goes, no, I just wanted to come in and talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are guys going to the VA, to these psychologists, and telling me that the psychologist there is, oh, you know what? And they get more out of just coming in. And the answer to that is just listen. The veteran just wants somebody who will listen to them. You know, it's pretty simple advice, but apparently when they go to the VA, the listening ears turn off.
Yeah.
And it really frustrates veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, our thanks to David Malsby, Executive Director of PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope in Houston, but they've got warrior groups in cities and towns in other parts of the country, other parts of Texas. Check out their website, PTSDUSA.org. Donate if you can help them, and hopefully he'll be back on our show again sometime soon. Rick, why don't you take us into the coaching and the care before we run out of time tonight?
Yeah, we would like to provide a weekly reminder to veterans and their families about an important program called Coaching Into Care. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching Into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call toll-free at 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, VA's Coaching Into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. Coaching Into Care program can help a veteran finally achieve what the veteran would like, which is independence. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has a veteran crisis line. Call that number at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed, help them get the care they need to cope with their problem. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Back to you, David.
Well, it's time for us to go. I'd like to thank you all for listening to the Veterans News Hour here, BBS Radio Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli and Corey and Hurley Law Group. I'd like to thank our producer, BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. I hope you'll tune in next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on BBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.